Okay, it's starting in Daniel chapter 2, and I'm not going to read all of chapter 2 for brevity's sake, but let's just suffice it to say that that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And Daniel tells him his dream. He says in verse 31 of chapter 2, "You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing room floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue was a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we'll interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you, Nebuchadnezzar, dominion, power, and might, and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind, and the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold." All right, now, in order to answer those questions, though, in Daniel 10 and 11, we have to deal with this. Now, you notice that Nebuchadnezzar was this head of gold. And this talks about the first kingdom that starts in this vision, which is Babylon. Everybody agree with that? The first kingdom was Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. Then a kingdom come up after Babylon, right? One of bronze. And this was the chest and the arms of bronze. And this was Medo-Persia. Now it's true, we see that Medo-Persia overthrew Babylon. Right? And after that, we see the belly and thighs of brass. I mean, those were of silver. And then the belly and thighs of bronze or brass. That was Greece, Macedonia. Alexander the Great overthrew Medo-Persia. How many of you know that's true in history too? And this is, you know, long after Daniel prophesied these things. Macedonia overthrew, Medo-Persia, the arms and chest of silver. All right, and then the two legs were iron. They were of Rome. That's Rome. And it says right here, speaking of that kingdom, finally there'll be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. And that's exactly what happened. Rome overthrew Greece, didn't it? Rome overthrew everybody. And then we see, after Rome, just as you saw the feet and the toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, the feet. Yet it will have some of the strength of the iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. Now it's important to remember, on 2 feet there's 10 toes, okay? Remember that. That's going to come into play later. 10 toes. So this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united, any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will be left to another people. And that speaks of Jesus' kingdom. And we know he is that rock that strikes the base, the feet of this statue, and then fills the whole earth to become this great mountain. That's Jesus' kingdom, right? The one of the rock. Everybody with me so far? But can you see that there was a time, because there was a time period in between the feet of iron and clay and the legs of iron. There was a time period in between that. Because this time, it says specifically, this is in the time of the end. It'll have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Right? We know it's in the last days that this kingdom is set up. Right? So, in the time of those kings is at the end. But that's different from the legs of iron's time, isn't it? Everybody with me? So there's a separation between the time of the feet of iron mixed with clay and the time of the legs of iron, which is Rome, and iron smashes and breaks everything, right? All right, now we can go with that, and we can go over here to chapter 7. And you're going to notice the exact same pattern, but using a little bit different figures. All right, Daniel had a dream of four beasts. Now remember, there were four different parts of this image, and the fifth was that image continued. Let me say that again. There were four different parts to this image. There were gold, silver, brass, and iron. And then the fifth kingdom was that iron continued. Right? So the fifth kingdom belongs to the fourth kingdom. Everybody with me? The fifth kingdom belongs to the fourth kingdom. The fifth kingdom will be iron and clay. Right? But the four kingdoms are there, right? Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. These four beasts come up out of the sea in Daniel's other vision. Daniel said in my vision, verse 2, chapter 7, and there was before me the four winds of heaven, churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. And I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. This is Babylon. Babylon is the one that has that picture, right, of the lion with eagle's wings. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. This is Medo-Persia. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. And after I looked, there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. This is Greece. It had four wings, like those of a bird, and the beast had four heads, and was given authority to rule. And after that, in my vision, at that night, I looked, and before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. See, it's the same description as in the image, isn't it? It's Rome, iron, as iron crushes everything else, right? It was different from all the former beasts. So we see those four kingdoms here, don't we? Now, while I was thinking about the horns, there was another horn, a little one. Now we get into the kingdom of those 2 feet, iron mixed with clay. This is the little horn's kingdom. This is the Antichrist kingdom, and it comes at the end. All right, there was another, a little horn, which came out among them, and which three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Now, whenever we talk about fourth beast going into the fifth beast, I want you to notice there's a prophetic break here. As I looked, verse 9, thrones were set in place. The Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow. His hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming like fire, and his wheels were all ablaze, and a river of fire was flowing out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. This is a picture of the great white throne judgment. Then it goes back after that prophetic break. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the little horn was speaking. And I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. And we see that happen in Revelation 19. The other beasts, those other kingdoms, had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. They are in the millennium, and Jesus is ruling over them with a rod of iron. These nations, which is Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and Macedonia. I mean, Medo-Persia, Babylon, Greece, and Rome. Macedonia and Greece, same thing. All right. So can you see there's a prophetic break in both places? How many of you see this? There's a prophetic break in between the fifth kingdom and the fourth kingdom. A period of time. We know that this final kingdom, the fifth kingdom, which is the kingdom of the feet with the ten toes, it's also the kingdom of the little horn, right? We see that there's a break in between that kingdom and the kingdom it preceded. And this is that period of time. Alright, we see this demonstrated again in Daniel chapter 9 in a little bit different way. He's told that 77s are appointed for his people. Right? And we go all the way down to in these 77s in Daniel's prayer, where the people of the ruler who shall come, which is the kingdom of the fourth kingdom, Rome, those are the people who are the ruler who will come. Rome is the kingdom of the little horn, isn't it? How many of you know that? Rome is the kingdom of the little horn. What we're looking for is Rome revived. But Rome is the kingdom of the little horn. And we know that it destroyed the city and the sanctuary. It says, after 62 sevens, verse 26, Daniel 9, the anointed one will be cut off. Jesus was put to death and will have nothing. And the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, after Jesus was put to death, didn't Rome come in and destroy Jerusalem and the temple, the city and the sanctuary? They are the people of the ruler who will come. They're Rome. And we're talking about that kingdom that will be revived, the kingdom of the little horn. They are his people, but he hasn't come yet. He has a revived kingdom that's coming. And it says that he, verse 27, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. And here's where we talk about that final 7-year period, which is the kingdom of the little horn, right? At the end of days. The kingdom of the feet of iron and clay, it's the kingdom of the little horn, it's the kingdom of the Antichrist. And it's during that 7-year period that he will cause the abomination of desolation and will set himself up in the temple to proclaim himself to be God. He is Rome revived. How many of you can see that now between all three of these things? Between Daniel 9, Daniel 7, and Daniel 2, we have a map here that separates the final kingdom for a period of time from that fourth kingdom it comes out of, which is Rome. So it is Rome revived, but not Rome revived in exactly the same way, right? Like the iron mixed with clay instead of just iron. Like the little horn instead of the ten horns, which symbolic of those ten toes, right? How many of you can see what I'm getting at? All right, now here's a good place to pause for a second. Everybody with me? Now let me
Yeah. Do you know?
Well, amen. Let's talk about the 77s. Let's just talk about the 77s for a moment here. Okay? Now, I want you to hear what Daniel says these 77s are for. Actually, what Gabriel is telling him they're for. Alright? In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prayed, while I was speaking, verse 20, and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request known to the Lord my God for his holy hill. His holy hill, by the way, you know what that is. That's Mount Moriah, where the temple's built. All right, Jerusalem. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in an earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I've now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given. which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city. All right, who's Daniel's people? It's okay, everybody knows. Who's Daniel's people? Remember what he said? As I was praying for the sin of my people Israel and making my request known to the Lord my God for his holy hill. His holy hill is the Temple Mount, right? His holy people are the Israelites, right? So 77s are decreed for your people, the Israelites, and your holy city, the Temple Mount, right? Your holy hill. To finish transgression, now listen to what these 77s are to accomplish. To finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now let me ask you, have all of these things been accomplished? Where Israel is concerned, have all of these things been accomplished? No, we have not finished transgression or put an end to sin, right? Or atoned fully for wickedness, or brought in everlasting righteousness, right? Or sealed up vision and prophecy, or anointing the Most Holy. Now, I want you to entertain something. Anointing the Most Holy is not talking about Jesus. Let's just get that. That's a supposition. That's not supported by the facts. What is the anointing? Let's talk about what is to anoint the Most Holy. And we're talking about people here. How does the people have to be anointed? The Most Holy of the people have to be anointed how? The Holy Spirit. Let's see when that happens. When are the Most Holy of Israel? All right, let me ask you a question. According to the Scripture, how many are there of the Most Holy of Israel? How many are there? Right, 144,000. Now, I want to read you two places here, so you can understand what Daniel 77s are about. This is important that you understand it in order to go further. All right? In Revelation, the book of Revelation, all right, starting in chapter 7, we see the Most Holy anointed. Right scant moments before Jesus comes, during the time of the sixth seal, chapter 7, verse 1, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing. And I saw another angel coming up in the east, having the seal of the living God. Somebody tell me, what is the seal of the living God? What is the seal of the living God? It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. And I heard the number of those who were sealed were 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. Now, you and I have received that seal, right? We're told in Ephesians, and let me read it to you. You and I, as believers, especially as Gentile believers, we have received that seal, haven't we? We're not the ones who have been blinded for a time. We have entered in through grace by faith. And having entered in by grace through faith, we are sealed with that seal. There's no difference in the seal that's being talked about than in Ephesians than there is in Revelation 7. This is the anointing of the Most Holy. They are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Alright, now let's look in Ephesians chapter 1. And let me read it to you about our seal. Just a second. I'm trying to keep several places at once here so I don't lose it. Alright. And you also, verse 13, were included in Christ. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. And what does that happen? The resurrection of the dead. When are these 144,000 sealed? Just scant moments before Jesus comes. Because it continues on here in chapter 7, in verse 13, and it talks about this great crowd who joins 144,000, of which no man can number, all in white robes. And John is asked, who are these? And he's told in verse 13, then one of the elders asked, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See that? That is the gathering of the saints. Now, this right here, this is speaking of this 144,000 being sealed right before they're redeemed from the earth. And as we go on to chapter 14, it makes it clear that this is the most holy that's spoken of in Daniel's 77. Chapter 14, Revelation. And I looked, there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with Him the 144,000 who had His name and His Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard the sound like heaven, like the roar of rushing waters, and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like the harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. Can you see this when they're sealed? It's shortly before Jesus comes and they're gathered, and all of us are, out of the great tribulation for the resurrection. All right, this 144,000 have been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, but they kept themselves pure. They follow the Lamb wherever He goes, and they were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God. The first fruits of the harvest are the most holy, aren't they? Right? You always gave the first fruits to God because that's the most holy. Right? These were offered as first fruits to God of the Lamb, and no lie was found in their mouths. This is the most holy being anointed. Now, here's the point. If the most holy are not anointed, which is the last thing mentioned in Daniel 77, that must be accomplished, then Daniel 77s aren't over until Jesus comes. Jesus coming and anointing the most holy to receive them, taking away their blindness, that they can receive the gospel, that they can say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They are purchased from among the Israelites as first fruits unto God, aren't they? Of all of Israel. Right? Everybody with me? They are the most holy of Daniel's people. And this is where they're anointed. Can you see it? How many of you can see that? It's pretty clear, isn't it? All right? So, 77s are decreed for your people to do all these things, and it ends with anointing the most holy. So no one understand this. I want you to see something about these 77s. No one understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler comes, Jesus, there'll be 77s. All right? And 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench and in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. And the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He, this ruler who will come, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. And in the middle of the 7, he'll put an end to sacrifice and offering and cause the abomination of desolation. All right. You notice how the 77s is broken up. It's not a straight 490 years. Is it? It's 7 sevens, 62 sevens, and a final 7. That's the way it's broken up. It doesn't happen concurrently, one on top of the other. It was not a 490 year period from the time Daniel prophesied this to the time it's done. There are two different breaks in it. There's a break after the 7 sevens, and then there's another break after the 62 sevens that follow. And finally, we have the 70th seven. How many of you can see that? So this prophetic break removes that final seven from the other 69 sevens completely. This prophetic break removes it, doesn't it, to the end times. Now, that final seven is where Antichrist is revealed and has his kingdom. That final seven is also where we see the kingdom of the 2 feet and the 10 toes. It's also the kingdom of the little horn. It's all the same. It's that final seven that's removed from the rest of it. And we can see that the 77s run until they are complete, the whole 77s, which is in the wind, scant moments before Jesus returns. The last thing of those 77s to be done is the anointing of the Most Holy. It becomes very clear then, doesn't it? So this was never talking about a straight 490 years, guys. It's talking about a 490 year period that is separated in three different ways. Seven sevens, 62 sevens, and a final seven. And there was a prophetic break in between each of those things. Can everybody see that? On this particular part of it, I'm going to go ahead and stop, but we'll take questions.